Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I am Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
And we hope you are all safe and healthy during this incredibly difficult time. We've been doing this podcast for about a year with our monthly luncheon speakers. And due to the crisis that we're currently in, we want to change it up a little bit and start a new guest series called Voices of Light.
And we know there are a lot of people suffering out there right now, whether it is physically, emotionally, or economically. And our hope is to bring you guests who can uplift, inspire, and have honest conversations with us. We'd like to have guest interviews on a somewhat regular basis, maybe even weekly, and hopefully this can help us all get through this together.
And we are so excited and honored to have with us today the president and CEO of Intermountain Healthcare, Mark Harrison, is a pediatric critical care physician and is a national international thought leader on transformation and innovation, raking in Fortune 50's top 50 greatest world leaders in 2019, and also ranked second among modern healthcare's most influential physician executives and leaders tied for second on its list of 100 most influential people in healthcare in 2018. And beyond that, he's just a great guy, and we sure appreciate Dr. Harrison, Mark, as you've asked me to call you, being here with us today. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, and boy, am I glad you're having this series. This is a tough time for a lot of folks. A lot of really great things are happening, but there are some people who are suffering too. And thank you for doing this. And anything that Intermountain or I can do to help, we're all in.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Mark. We all appreciate that. And I guess my first question is, how are you doing personally, and how's Intermountain doing as a company at this time?
So the on the personal side of things, I'm doing well. We're doing well as a family. I've been very transparent about this challenge I've had with a blood cancer called multiple myeloma, and it has been a challenge. That said, I'm actually feeling well, doing well, and really, I think, at really functioning at full speed from a work standpoint. Intermountain, we're doing very well, and I've got to be careful to couch this to make sure that your listeners understand. We completely understand how serious the COVID-19 crisis is, as well as the economic crisis that wraps around it. We are a forever organization, and we act like that. So we're conservative with our finances. We think really hard before we make investments, but then we also don't cut and run when things get tough. And, it has been an honor and pleasure to watch my team plan along with the rest of the state for the clinical challenges associated with COVID-19. And as a state, we're doing very well with lots of hard work. And then economically, it has been a pleasure for us to really be able to say, we're not a bank, we're not a hedge fund. We have economic power at Intermountain Healthcare for a reason. It's so that we can be a forever organization. And we're going to put our caregivers first and do everything we can to have people stay employed, doing meaningful work, able to take care of their families, and also serve our clinical mission. And, you know, I'll touch wood for a second. So far, so good. It feels like we're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and Mark, I'm just thinking, like, as you reflect back over the last few months, you know, obviously there's some businesses and organizations that they go through a time like this, and their hope is just to survive. Where an organization like Intermountain Healthcare, you can't just survive; you got to thrive and be at the top of your game as you address this as a medical organization. And so, any highlights or moments that stand out as you think about the last few months that really show the character of your organization?
Well, I'll give you a really easy example from a character standpoint. And then I'd like to share with you, you know, what I've learned about my teammates. There's a couple of really good organizations back in New York City. One is called Northwell. It used to be called Long Island Jewish. Big system run by a really terrific executive team. And the other organization is New York Presbyterian. Again, it's really superb system. And they've been very open with the fact that they just got absolutely slammed by COVID-19, essentially overrun. You know, they had to change everything around to try and take care of this enormous onslaught of patients. And their caregivers were absolutely and have been heroic. And their leadership teams have been heroic as well. But boy, they've actually seen death and devastation like you would never imagine what happened in the United States of America. And as good colleagues and good friends, we've been talking with them about how can we help. And through our chief people officer, Heather Brace, the idea came is maybe we could deploy a couple of teams of our people to go and help with a twofold desire. One is to actually help our friends, help our colleagues. The other is, you know, were there things that we could learn that actually would allow Utah to be better prepared for when our turn comes, hopefully never quite as bad, but that we'd really be ready. We had 750 people volunteer within a couple of hours for 100 slots.
Wow.
I mean, if that doesn't say Intermountain Healthcare and Utah written all over it, I don't know what does. And we did deploy two teams of 50, one for Presbyterian, one for Northwell. They were embedded for 2 weeks each in the intensive care units. We kept really close tabs on them from a safety standpoint, as you might imagine, and their emotional well-being. They learned a ton. They've taught a ton. Just really proud of our organization that we were nimble enough to be able to do something like this, because that's not simple. And that our caregivers were so generous and so switched on and so excited to help. It's been revolutionary for us. So that's one example. The other is, maybe every CEO you talk to says, I work with the best team in, you know, whatever industry I'm no different. I really work with an extraordinary group of human beings who have been selfless with their time and energy, their thoughts, their leadership. They've put the organization first, and the degree of nimbleness and innovation that I've seen and that we're fostering really makes me feel good. And I'll give you an example. One of our hospitals, the engineers thought that we're going to need more negative pressure rooms than we actually had to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. And sort of before we even heard about it, these guys had punched holes in the walls of the hospital and put in units to create negative pressure rooms, and they were tested and they were good to go. And I love the fact that what that tells me is that we've got a clear strategy, we've got clear tactics, we have empowered people, and they're not getting held up by red tape to make the changes that they feel like they need to do to keep their people safe, their communities safe. And damn, that feels good. I mean, that just feels great. So sorry for the long answers, but I hope those both gave you a little bit different perspective on why I'm proud of these folks.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And as I saw too, that, you know, you'd sent out 100 people out to New York, I thought that is the resiliency of the human spirit personified. And what an amazing thing that, like you said, Intermountain was able to do that. In terms of how we're doing as a state right now, what are your thoughts? I know that originally there was discussion that maybe we would have our bad wave the end of May or the first part of June. Are we still tracking on that? How are we looking? And I know we've gone to yellow. Is that a good thing? And are we tracking to continue to improve? Or what are your thoughts on how we're doing as a state right now?
So first of all, I think we're doing very well as a state. And there's not a lot of places I'd really rather trade to be. We have, very proud of Utah in general. So we're an interesting state, super well-educated population. I love the fact that we're involved in the tech world. We punch above our weight a lot in Utah based on size and the great companies and educational organizations that are here. So really proud of Utah in general. Very proud during the crisis. We have pulled together, which is one of the things you haven't seen in every state. So the four major health systems have actually all worked together to be arm in arm on things like changing from red to orange, orange to yellow. And there's been an enormous amount of collaboration with our political infrastructure as well. So, I've seen other places in the country get divided and chopped up and pitted against one another. And I'm not seeing much of that, if any, around here. So that really is an enormous advantage for us. In terms of how we're doing from a infection standpoint, I think we got roughly 1% of the population for the United States. We're experiencing about 0.5% of the admissions to hospital. I think we've done a good job with social distancing. We're experiencing about 0.8% in terms of death rate. So we are having deaths like everybody else, but it's been in proportion with our population. And one of the things that we're working so hard as a system and with colleagues is to make sure that we don't get overrun. Because what happens is even in places with great medical care like New York City, if the volume of cases gets too big, no one can take good care of all those patients. Doesn't matter how good you are. And so we're working really hard at that, which leads us to this sort of red to orange, orange to yellow transformation. And I think we've been very much arm in arm with the government as this has gone through, but our caution, and there'll be an op-ed that'll come out quite soon that I'm going to participate as an author in, and it's to remain cautious. At yellow, you're still supposed to engage in wearing a mask and then social distancing. If we fool around with this too much, we are the same human beings that live in other parts of the world, and we can get sick and die just like they can, and we can get overwhelmed just like they can. So I think if we stick to our knitting, which we've done very well, obey the rules, which we've done very well, I think we can both open the economy and stay safe. Does that make sense to you?
No, that's great. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark, I mean, as a CEO, I would imagine you're always trying to anticipate things in the future, you know, speculating, you know, how you can remain healthy and functional as an organization. In generally speaking, the future, I mean, is it how, I mean, what do you feel like what does Intermountain Healthcare look like in the next few years? I mean, is this something, a reality that we're just always going to be, you know, have, you know, hospitals full of staff with masks on and taking these precautions, or is that, yeah. As I realize it's hard to really know, but.
Well, my, hopefully the board has hired me not as a futurist, but as a pretty good CEO. But I do have some thoughts on that. So first of all, I think coronavirus is probably not going to just boom, go away. We're not seeing any indications of that. And we are seeing indications from around the world that it is going to pop up in waves still. Now, no one would be happier than a guy with a bad immune system to have a to have an immunization like right available, but and maybe we'll be lucky, but this usually happens over years, not over months. And so I think being realistic is very important. So investing as Utah is in the next wave of public health capability for contact tracing and allowing people to be quarantined, but yet have the economy open is really important. And Intermountain, I hope, is viewed as a good player by the government here in Utah and elsewhere as a good partner in this, because it's, look, I am the CEO of, I guess, the largest private employer in the state. And got a lot of people who are relying on me so that their families can pay tuitions and pay car payments and pay their rent. And I take that very, very seriously. I think healthcare and other businesses have changed forever. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think healthcare will end up being less expensive for people who consume it than it has been because it'll be less hospital centric. That's something that Intermountain's been working on now for about 3 years. And so we're in very good shape. We actually just celebrated our millionth televisit about 2 weeks ago. Some of that's hospital stuff, some of that's outpatient stuff, but we really doubled down on this light approach before it made economic sense because we could see where the world was going. If you were to turn back the clock about 4 or 5 months ago, we would have had about 1,000 of our 40,000 people working from home every day. Well, right now we've got 10,000 people today.
Wow.
And so that'll have implications over time. You know, how much real estate square footage do we need? How do we organize ourselves? How do we train people? How do we build culture? All of those things will change, but they don't necessarily change for the worse, to be honest. So I think a lot of this is going to be attitudinal, and how innovative the companies are and how innovative our caregivers are. And they are very good at this. I think we're going to be okay.
Mark, how during a pandemic like this, how can we all be leaders? And what can people do who don't work in healthcare? What can they do right now to step up?
Well, that's a great question. And aren't we living in the state with the highest volunteerism of any state in the United States? So I think this is kind of, this is almost like reflexive for Utahns. I'm incredibly proud of Project Protect that Intermountain Healthcare has put in place with the LDS Church, as well as with the University of Utah, to create 5 million masks. My understanding is that 10,000 volunteers appeared within a course of a week to help create these masks. That kind of work, so that the creation of the product itself is very important. So caregivers will be kept safe, people will be kept safe. But boy, I think the process of participating in doing good things for other people is really important. And I don't know about you, but I watch society around us and I see more polarization than I would like. I'd rather see more people coalesce around common values, common projects, a desire for a healthy and vibrant society. I think all of us can participate as volunteers. And then the place I'd probably maybe really have us think about doubling down is, we're beginning to see real issues with some behavioral health problems that have existed in our society, just like every society, but are actually exacerbated by isolation. So we've seen bumps in rates of domestic violence, substance abuse. There's some concerns that suicidality is going to really pick up as people become depressed. And I think each of us as good neighbors can actually check on folks. See, are they okay? Do they need anything? Do they need somebody to talk to? Your act as simple as checking with somebody to see if they need something from the grocery store may actually open a door for a conversation that could save a life. And I think that's something that every single one of your listeners can certainly do, and probably are doing it already, but I think do it with intentionality. Does that make sense to you?
Great.
Yeah, that's great. That's really helpful. I know that, what perspective could you give us as far as testing goes? Because I think I've read some headlines and articles that say that, you know, Utah is very capable, is at a spot to give a lot of tests, but, but not as many people are getting those tests. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Or what perspective could you share?
Okay, so this is where I get to say, I'm a simple pediatric ICU doctor who is now learning more about epidemiology than he ever wanted to. So I have some opinions about testing, but I don't ever pretend to be something I'm not. I hope that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. I think knowledge is power, and I think carefully executed collection of knowledge is to your advantage no matter what business you're in. And probably in the middle of a pandemic is a good time to have a lot of information. So Utah has actually developed some really pretty good testing capabilities. When you compare us to the rest of the country, I think we compare quite favorably in terms of tests per capita. I think that has something to do with the fact that we've kept things under some relative control. One of the things I'm actually very happy about is, you know, University of Utah is a great place. Intermountain's a great place. We do historically, and we will continue to compete with each other in some clinical areas. We've actually totally put that stuff aside and just collaborated around things like testing and clinical studies. And, you know, that feels really good. And I give enormous credit to Mike Good, who's the dean of the medical school and the CEO of their system, and to Ruth Watkins for their level of collaboration with us. I think that we're doing well on the testing front in areas where we know there are big problems. So we watch the data carefully, and we can still see there are some hot spots. And there have been actually particularly some folks, so there's some areas down in Provo, some areas in Ogden, West Valley City. Those are three hot spots, all of which have been to some extent involved with folks who are people of color. And we know nationally that people of color have actually disproportionately suffered during the COVID-19 crisis, and it's something that worries us a lot. So we're taking this very good testing capability and we're trying to deploy it in as focused a fashion as possible so that we can get better healthcare results for these folks. And we are working in concert with the other three healthcare systems as well as with the state.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good news, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Mark, this is clearly a terrible situation. So many negatives, but I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on if any positives might be able to come out of this, both for healthcare and for our community.
So absolutely. And I will echo with you. I mean, the loss of life that we've seen in the United States is actually horrifying. I mean, as of today, 90,000 Americans have died. That's almost two Vietnams. I mean, so we won't get political. We won't talk. I'm not sure every one of those deaths needed to happen. And, I'm actually quite proud about how we're managing ourselves in the great state of Utah and the Intermountain West, that I think we're trying to keep those deaths. You know, we're doing the right things. The good things that have happened are the degree of innovation that we've seen is remarkable. So whether it's creating face shields or masks, or whether it's people are punching walls in the holes in the walls of buildings to create negative pressure rooms, when I see the speed with which my teams are making decisions, what I teased them the other day, I said, now you're in trouble, guys, because, you know, I can see how fast you can go and we're never going back, right? So I think these are all really good things. I think that it's going to leave us, particularly in a place like Utah, with a more cohesive, not less cohesive society. And that makes me very hopeful for the future.
That's great. So on a lighter note, Mark, what are you enjoying about the quarantine or being more home? Obviously, you're at home with watching your health and whatnot, but what have you enjoyed about this time?
So I have had the occasional lunch with my wife, which is really nice. And so we have broken that rule, which is I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch. And I think done judiciously, apparently it's a good thing. So we're enjoying each other's company. I think we're both really glad that we don't have little kids at home. I can only imagine how tough it is to have, you know, 3 and 5 year olds running around. I mean, we're feeling pretty lucky as mature empty nesters to enjoy each other's company. And I think we've gotten out for hikes and walks, and it's been a beautiful spring here. And I think we feel grateful for living where we live. So life is actually, and we're very worried for our neighbors, right? We're worried for the economy. But we're also feeling grateful for each other and grateful to have meaningful work to do.
And do you have any advice for finding meaningful rest at a time of great unrest?
Gosh, you're talking to like the worst sleeper in the entire state. So all I'll say is if you need company at 2 a.m., you can call me and we can chat, okay? But that was a longstanding issue. That went before the COVID-19 stuff. Do you have any advice for me, I guess, is the better question.
That's why I asked for your advice, because I don't.
No, not one of my greatest strengths, but that's not a difference from before.
Well, Mark, we are so appreciative of you and of your time and willingness to come on here. I guess I would just ask if you have any last thoughts or advice before we end, and if not, then we are just so grateful for your time for us.
So my last thought, and this is somewhat specific to the time we're living in, but it's also generically, I think, important as well. As business leaders, as community leaders, we have great opportunities to make decisions that hopefully help lots of people and leave our society better than we found it. Sometimes you also have to make really hard decisions in order to get to that good place, whether they're economic or social or whatever. And one of the things we're trying really hard at Intermountain, we've tried for a long time, is we talk explicitly at our executive team about what are people going to say over the dinner table about this decision that we're about to make. Now, That doesn't mean we shouldn't make hard decisions, right? It, you know, that would be cowardly, and that's not a good thing for anybody. But really trying to fully understand the impact that our decisions have on people holistically, on their families, on what they think about their society around them, what they think about us, is something that we do spend time and effort on. And my guess is the people who are listening to this podcast do as well. But I think that intentionality around that responsibility is something that we take seriously. And my guess is your other listeners take seriously as well. That would be my closing thought.
Thank you. And thank you again for being with us today. Thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with our next episode in Voices of Light. Have a wonderful day.